Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. How are you doing this fine Saturday afternoon? I'm doing okay. I'm out here in the back patio as usual. Got the overhead ceiling fan on. The sun is setting in the distance. So beautiful as always. Behind our backyard, this is a 24-acre park with lots of green trees, Texas-style trees. Not too high. I think the tallest one is maybe 15 feet tall. Compared to California, I know that's quite a difference. There's really tall trees there. I lived in California. I don't know if I told you. I lived in San Diego for 8 years back in the 70s. I lived in Monterey, California when I was in the Army, stationed there studying Turkish at the Language Institute. And I lived in San Francisco, at the city of San Francisco, before they closed it down. In fact, I was one of the soldiers that participated in that closing ceremony as we walked through the Presidio and out the gate, and then they officially closed it. I believe they kept a small contingent of soldiers doing something, but they closed the garrison down. And I remember, too, what happened. 60 Minutes had a show where they interviewed somebody about the golf course. Hold on just a minute. The door was open. Dogs came out. Now they're back in and started barking. So, no barking. Not doing my show, please. Anyway, so that show on 60 Minutes, it was about the golf course that the Army was running at the time. So, when they heard about that there were some problems. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they decided after that to move the Army out. They didn't think that the Army running the golf course there was a good idea, and things changed. And it goes to show that the power of television, reaching people, exposing things that are of interest and maybe a little bit problematic, can lead to things happening. You know, this was rather unexpected. It happened quickly, and we were out of there. So those are the places I lived in California, and I have good memories of all of those places. Very beautiful, especially Monterey there, by the ocean. I remember driving in. So we lived on Fort Ord, and I would drive in the morning to work. And I would watch the sunrise. Beautiful small city of Monterey was nestled in that bay there. It was very pretty, you know, with the blue water and the buildings of the city. And you climb up the hill to get to the Language Institute. Very, very beautiful. Well, I'll tell you, this last week, I've been doing a lot of thinking about the election coming up. I haven't voted yet. Early voting here in Texas is the 13th Tuesday. So I'm going back and forth. I'm getting as educated as I can, watching television, reading things. I read about Mike Pence's biography the other day. Did you know that he was once a Democrat and then he changed over to becoming a Republican? He was a big fan of JFK and also Jimmy Carter. Then when Reagan came on board, he changed sides and became a Republican. Anyway, he's a good Christian man. So I think a good thing to have in the White House, you know, someone who's a believer in the Creator. And Jesus Christ, too. Oh, I got to tell you, I saw this. It's called Austin City Limits on television the other day. And they had a guy there playing with his band called John, I think the name is Prine, John Prine. And I'd never heard of him before, never seen him before. And I was kind of impressed with the way he was singing, and the lyrics were very interesting. And he was a bit of someone who was antisocial, kind of against the establishment. There are singer-songwriters like that, you know, Bob Dylan for one. But I liked his style. And then it was kind of interesting how they did it on Austin City Limits. They showed you some of the earlier shows back in the 90s, like 92, and he sang a song, and then they showed you one from 96, and then 2002, and then 2018. And he was looking pretty old by the time he got, by the time I saw the 2018 part of the show, you know, he was getting along in age. And still able to sing pretty effectively, however. And then at the end, they showed that he passed away in April of this year. And I thought, wow, that's too bad. I did a little research on him on the internet, you know, Wikipedia, read about him. But anyway, he had a song called Jesus, the Missing Years. It was really interesting about when Jesus was 12 years old, he moved away from that area there, Jerusalem, Nazareth, I'm not sure exactly where, Bethlehem, and went somewhere and didn't show up apparently until 18 years later when he was 30 years old. Well, that kind of reinforces my theory, and I've talked about it before in previous shows and it's archived in EBS Radio's archives about who Jesus really was. That's a long, long story, but suffice it to say that the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem was a very advanced soul, to say the least. He had his birth planned, you know, because we all come from a pre-existence. We come from the light, and we return to the light. So this baby Jesus was born at a time when divine intervention was really necessary at that point of time in our history, in that area of the world. And the story about the Virgin Mary becoming pregnant was real. However, as I've mentioned before, I'm a big believer in a lot of extraterrestrial life out there. It's really the intelligent thing to think about, to believe in, because someone who has a logical mind has to agree that the universe is teeming with life, because we are children of a creator who is not only a creator of bodies, but also worlds. Amazing, really, when you think about it. Through the power of the word, the creator can create anything he or she wants. I say he or she because the supreme creator, in accordance with my beliefs, who initiated the Big Bang as both male and female. It's hard to describe the supreme creator because it's an energy which is really incomprehensible. Magical is a good way to describe him, her. And just imagine, go back in time to before the Big Bang, what existed before the physical universe began to form itself in existence, you know, come into existence. There was just the spirit of the creator and darkness and silence. And the creator wanted to create the physical and the spiritual universe, because the way I think about it, he or she was in need of growth, expansion. So This was one way to do it. And so the Supreme Creator commanded the four forces of the universe. The first force is the force that created the world, the planets, the moons, the suns. The second force is what created the animal life, the plant life on the world throughout the universe. The third force, the sentient beings. Can you imagine? Just think about all the life here on Earth. I've talked about this before. It's one of my favorite things to say. All the life here on Earth, the insects, over a million types, 30,000 types of fish in the oceans, rivers, seas, lakes. Ten thousand types of birds, 10,000 types of reptiles, 9,000 types of amphibians, 5,000-6,000 types of mammals, all the flowers and trees, fruits and vegetables. Now, if all of that was by accident, if all that happened by accident, then logically it could happen by accident elsewhere, anywhere in the universe. But if there is a creator, and I know, I don't just believe, I know there is, then that creator would have the power to create anything, anywhere. I mean, just a million types of insects. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. All these little insects we see flying around here, each with their own little mind, capable of reproducing, eating, small metabolisms, you know, some with wings, some not with wings. We're a part of an incredibly amazing thing that's going on. Life is so amazing. And of course it's elsewhere in the universe. You know, we can't think that we're the only planet that's teeming with life. That is the mindset that's very old and unevolved, if you will. Think back when Columbus sailed the ocean blue and they thought the world was flat. And I've mentioned this before, I know. I might be saying the same thing over and over again to you, but I'm trying to make a point here. And I have a story going. I know about Jesus. I'm getting back to it. And then Copernicus, with his theory, told us that the Earth is not at the center of the universe, but instead we revolve around our sun. Our sun revolves around the Milky Way galaxy. And Milky Way galaxy revolves around the center of the universe. So what we have here, we have a creator that's got a kind of power that's incomprehensible. It's magical. You know, magic. The creator invented the word magic. It's the best way I can describe it. Omnipotent, omniscient, able to create anything, anywhere. That's logical. You can't refute that. But if you still want to believe it was an accident, go right ahead. With all this life here on Earth, think about all those insects, over a million types. Well, I'm sure it could happen by accident elsewhere on some planet in the universe. And also a planet like Earth could have happened by accident. A planet like Jupiter could have happened by accident. Or Venus. And these planets, they weren't created just willy-nilly, you know, without a purpose, like the ones in our solar system. They have a purpose. But also, besides sentient life, I was there talking about sentient life, the creator also commanded the fourth force of the universe, which is the spiritual universe, the fourth dimension, if you will, that taking that infinitesimal part of his or herself and putting it in the sentient beings, otherwise known, that part is otherwise known as the spirit and the soul. That's what we have inside of our body. When we dream at night, we can see with the eyes of the spirit, even though our physical eyes are closed, right? Anyway, back to Jesus. So it was necessary to have some divine intervention. Things were pretty not going well back then. And as happens every now and then, divine intervention is justified, as within Moses' time, you know, when the Hebrews were being enslaved by the Egyptians, and the time was ripe for the powers that be, because I was getting to also describe to you that the Supreme Creator is in accordance with the fourth force, then that would provide for a mother and father God, which is what we're aspiring to. As you can see in my website in DBS Radio, we are co-creator gods in the making. If you can die, my friends, you are a co-creator God in the making. But some of us don't think we can die, right? We're invincible. You see it happen all the time, especially on the roads. People are dying from the coronavirus. But if it doesn't happen close to where we are or to us, then we don't believe it. Some people don't. I do. I almost got killed one time, but that's another story. But part of that plan, that divine intervention all those years ago, in that area around Bethlehem, was to send a savior, if you will, to help save the world, to help guide the world into the future. And indeed, that has happened. With Christianity, you have to agree that that's what's happened over the centuries. That story has been kept alive, it's been kept real all those years. Isn't that amazing? But it began with the Virgin Mary becoming pregnant. Well, for those that don't think too much about it, they have some idea that it was a fantasy or some kind of power that they're not aware of, something that wasn't explained to them in too much detail. I know that it was artificial insemination by these extraterrestrials who have guardianship over our planet and are one of the most technologically and spiritually advanced in our Milky Way galaxy. They are hermaphrodite, kind of transgenderish, if you will, 9 feet tall. They've interacted in our past before, even before that time with Jesus. And so they're masters of a lot of natural phenomena. They can do stuff like appearing before the shepherds out there. They can create scenes, if you will, that resemble angels. Not to say that I don't believe in real angels, but they can also resemble angels and leave whatever message they want to leave that's appropriate for the time. So by putting the Virgin Mary under hypnosis, she was artificially inseminated, and the baby that was to be born was a very special baby who had been lined up there in the pre-existence. You know, there is so much we don't know about what goes on in determining the babies that come down to Earth and are born, spend nine months in the womb of the mother. Isn't that fantastic? You and I, we were in our mother's womb for 9 months. We're big babies, that's what we are. So there was nothing, no fantasy involved there, nothing that you could explain in any other way other than scientific, natural kind of facts. Artificial insemination, we're very familiar with it now. Back then, they couldn't have understood what it meant. So you have to understand, back then, 2,000 years ago, the world was in a very low, evolved state being. So the angel had appeared to Joseph, and they, under the guise of saying maybe they're Archangel Gabriel, and he exists for sure, I call on him sometimes, but these extraterrestrials are capable of doing that kind of, you know what I mean, phenomenon. They command it because they have a knowledge of the fourth dimension and everything that entails, as well as mastering all physical, or better put, technological aspects of science and reality, in other words. So artificial insemination, the baby is impregnated, is put into her womb, the baby grows, the baby's born. In Bethlehem, that's the first part of the plan. and the light that shone down from the supposed star of Bethlehem was none other than an extraterrestrial probe, a probe of theirs that was rendered luminous to shine down specifically on that area. And it couldn't have been anything else, by the way, because heavenly bodies, as some people may attribute that to, can't move. I mean, excuse me, they're constantly in motion. They can't stop over a particular location and shine the light down like it did over that manger where Jesus was born, the baby Jesus. But there's another thing I need to explain to you also. When we're born, particularly on this planet, we cross over what they call the river of oblivion. It's like a veil where our memories of our past lives are erased. And they had to do that for the baby Jesus because there was no other way of doing it. And so even though he's an advanced soul, he didn't have the knowledge that was necessary to perform all the miracles that he was going to have to perform to prove to the people there that he was real, that God was real. And ultimately, the resurrection, when that was the greatest miracle of all, when he would be dead and come back to life. But nevertheless, he performed many incredible, shall I say, feats of knowledge growing up. He impressed the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees back then with his knowledge of the scripture and just being an advanced soul and, you know, conveying that love and knowledge to them as a good, pure, beautiful human being, you know. But then when he was 12 years old, like I was saying, he left the area. And according to my research, he went to, through countries up into Burma, China, and eventually to Japan, where you check out on the internet, there's a city called Honshu, I think, in some kind of province there, where he settled down, got married, and had children. Check it out on the internet if you don't believe me. Type in, did Jesus die in Japan? And see what you find. But that was only part one of the plan that these extraterrestrials had. The other part was 18 years later. By the way, Jesus' brother, he had a brother named Eurici, who went with him and he got killed. And Jesus of Bethlehem, I shall call him that, kept the lock of his hair and it was buried with him when he died in Japan. He was, I think, got to be maybe 90-some years old. So the part two of the plan was, as I'd mentioned before in other shows, the universe is divided into 9 categories of planets. Planet Earth is a Category 1 planet, which means it's the lowest of the evolutionary scale, if you will. And what does that mean? It means that when you live on a planet like this, you have to contend with animals eating each other, a lot of ways to die, very powerful storms, hurricanes, lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes exploding. And then there's animals that can kill you, you know, predators that are very powerful, bears, lions, tigers. There's poisonous insects, poisonous reptiles. It's a very dangerous planet, if you will. And the atmosphere sucks and pushes on our beings during the course of a 24-hour day that we're not really aware of. The barometer rises and falls. Suffice it to say that it can appear that there's a lot of negativity in this world. It's not because of a devil, which I don't believe in. I believe in Archangel Lucifer, who was created by God the creator of the universe. Angels were created by the supreme creator, I believe, and they have a purpose, and that is to be of service to the creator and to all of the sentient beings that the creator created. To think that they would rebel or be disobedient is an insult to the intelligence of the creator, because the creator would not allow that to happen. The creator would see into the future and know whether or not one of his creations would be disobedient to him later on, and would not allow it. Even if it did happen, the creator would have the power to destroy it immediately. Agreed? And now we think about a devil, and supposedly that devil is harassing us, intimidating us, causing us to do terrible things. When if you believe in a creator at the same time, then you obviously have to attribute more power to the creator, and the creator could destroy the devil any second that he or she wants to. It's logical, right? Because the devil is not as powerful as the creator. But still, I told you, that's make-believe fantasy in my mind. The devil is none other than Archangel Lucifer, and he's in charge of the demons and hell. And hell is a reality. Just read the book 23 Minutes in Hell if you don't believe me. 23 Minutes in Hell. It's a great book. And Archangel Michael is in charge of the angels, all of the angels. There's many different types. There's dominions, principalities, there's virtues, there's cherubims, seraphims, and some other types. I forget the names of them, but that's what Archangel Michael's in charge of. Okay, back to Jesus. So part two of the plan was to send a being on one of these planets. I said Earth is of the lowest category, or the highest category, which is the number nine planet, is where these beings come from. And in particular, it's called Thiouba, T-H-I-B-O-U-A. And a Category 9 planet in the physical universe is a veritable paradise. It's almost like heaven in the material world, in the material universe. The colors are more intense. Everything is just absolutely beautiful and pure and pristine. The waters, the air. Animals don't eat each other. Everybody lives in harmony. There's peace. There's no war, no killing. And as it is in the universe, these civilizations, these planets, people on these planets, they're very advanced technologically and spiritually. They're given kind of like mentorship, if you will, of the lower evolved planets to intervene when directed by the powers above them, in other words, either the co-creator gods or the supreme creator, whenever the time is right, if you will, for divine intervention, like it was 2,000 years ago. We're going in the wrong direction, a lot of killing, murdering, sexual immorality, suffice it to say. I hope we're not going in that direction now. We're smarter than that, aren't we, my friends? Murdering, killing, sexual immorality, does that ring a bell? Anyway, so they asked this one soul, very advanced soul living on their planet, if he would come to planet Earth and be the Jesus that had left 18 years ago. And now this part here, might be a little bit difficult for you to understand, but by analogy, let me have you think about the movie Avatar. Remember those blue bodies that the Marine and what's her name? I forget her name. She was in the movie Alien. Sigourney Weaver and others, there were some others, they got down in these boxes that look like coffins, you know, with a lot of incredible technology inside them, and then they were able to transfer their spirit or astral being, if you will, to these blue bodies, and then they got up and walked around and acted naturally and having their spirit or astral body inside these blue bodies. So by using that by a way to explain it in comparison, these very advanced extraterrestrial beings were able to create a human body, physical human body, and then transfer the spirit, soul, astral body of this advanced soul that had been living in Thayo Uba in one of their bodies, the hermaphrodite bodies that I explained earlier, and was brought to Earth in a spaceship, one of their high-speed interdimensional intergalactic spaceships, you know, powered by anti-gravity and electromagnetic mechanisms. And they sat down probably near the Sea of Galilee and under the cover of darkness. And this individual, I'll call him Arioch, had been well briefed on what he was to do for the 3 years of the ministry of Jesus between ages 30 and 33, as some people will believe. And no doubt, when they created that body, they created the body to resemble the Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, and as I mentioned later on, left at 12 years old, went to China and Burma. They can do that. They can make it any way they want to. Facial features, physical characteristics, easy to duplicate when you're a master of that kind of technology. You know, it's really that's. It is technology and knowledge, knowing how to do it. Think about how far we've come over the last 100 years or so and what we're able to do with our technology. I mean, it's obviously not as advanced as theirs, you know, but if you, for example, said to somebody a couple hundred years ago, we're going to put a man on the moon one day, they would have thought you were crazy. That it couldn't be done, you know, or even an airplane, you know, before the Wright brothers were able to fly for the first time. Come a long way since then. And now, I mean, we've got cell phones. I can call my stepdaughter in Tokyo, talk with have a conversation like I'm talking to you right now, because we have satellites orbiting the Earth. Isn't that amazing? So anyway, as an avatar, I'm using this as a way to explain it to you by way of comparison. The astral body, spirit, soul of that individual put inside a human body, and then, you know, the rest walked around. He was in constant communication with the spaceship. He performed the miracles. Sometimes they helped, sometimes they didn't. At the time, he restored sight to the blind. Or I'm sure he did it more than once, but, you know, they can send some of their agents, if you will, undercover surreptitiously, because they can beam in and beam out wherever they want to. They know all about people. They study them. They understand what their illnesses are and how to correct them. Sometimes it could be just a little powder that might cure the eyes. You know, like they said that Jesus took some earth from the ground, spat in it, and then rubbed it into this guy's eyes. Well, he could have added a little powder in there. Maybe it wasn't dirt. It looked like dirt, because by the time that the disciples looked, they might not have seen. I'm sure he did things in a way that they couldn't see all the time what he was doing, if you know what I mean. And he was able to cure that blind man. There's probably more than one, too. And take Lazarus, for example. Jesus restored him from the dead. But just an idea I've got as to what happened. They might have beamed in, you know, the extraterrestrials. Sometimes they could disguise themselves as what looked like angels to them. They didn't know the difference back then. But when he was close to dying, they could have administered some kind of chemical within his body to keep his heart beating, even just barely, you know, and they would have seen that he appeared dead. They put him in the grave, or maybe perhaps when they put him in the grave, they were able to resuscitate him enough to last to, I mean, keep him alive for the time that he was there inside the tomb. And then the night before, when Jesus was to, say, roll back the stone and Lazarus come forth, they had already been in the, beamed into the tomb there and surreptitiously administered some chemical again, perhaps. And he was, his bodily functions started returning to normal, and it appeared to be a miracle, but technology, my friends, science, knowledge of how to do it. We're seeing so much happening now. Knowledge is a way of accomplishing a lot of things. When you know how to do something, there's no mystery to it. And there's so many things we don't know about, and our future has so much potential, like matter manipulation. What I understand, you know, about quantum mechanics, when some very bright scientists discovered that there are some other forces besides gravity and electromagnetism, what Einstein talked about, is also the strong and weak nuclear force and quantum, which is part of the quantum mechanics. And that speaks about how small particles are, not only big, but the small. But what I have read and understand, we've not yet discovered just how small particles can be. You know, you've got the bosons and the Z particles, but it can get smaller than that, apparently. And then once you understand everything that exists, then you can manipulate it, kind of like in Star Trek and Star Wars, you know, when you can put some matter into a microwave kind of instrument and then change maybe just a couple of blocks of vegetable matter into a delicious-looking steak with onions, you know, as an example. So Jesus performed all those miracles, you know. He was an extraterrestrial. He had his own food that he ate, that they provided. He told the disciples one time, I have food that you don't know about. And then with the resurrection, when the body was dead, indeed, they crucified him and he died. His heart stopped beating and he stopped breathing. And they took him down. They put him in the tomb. Well, for them, it would have been very easy to beam that body out onto their spaceship. And they're the ones that created the body in the first place. So it would have been pretty easy to revive him. You know, and then his spirit and soul was hanging there, kind of like that box, if you will, a better way to understand it, as an avatar. And then once that body was healed, repaired, and maybe they left the holes in the hands and the feet just to be as a reminder and something easier to believe in when the disciples were to meet him after, when they said that he was resurrected. You know, he appeared in those rooms, and they said the door was closed, and he just showed up. Well, he beamed in. That's the explanation that he might have been wondering about for a long time. To think otherwise is to not have really an idea of what really happened. And are you going to live your life not seeking out the details? You're just going to accept something without having it explained to you in detail, you know, thoroughly explained the science of it, the facts of it, rather than believe in some fantasy notion that you never really gave much thought to, because you're either not interested in it, probably because might be a young soul, and that's not a bad thing, or an intermediate soul. But the advanced souls, they seek the knowledge that will enhance their spiritual development, because an advanced soul knows that here on earth, we are only here to develop ourselves spiritually and to evolve. That's the only reason we're here. And yes, it's nice to have a family and a good job, be making lots of money and doing great things. But look where that's gotten us now. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Is that really the best way of doing things? So many people are out of a job now. Unemployment is like it's never been before, you know, since the Great Depression. And we've got to make some changes. And we're going to talk about that too. I think I've said enough about Jesus. If you want to read more about it, there's a book called Byuba, the Golden Planet, or Abduction to the Ninth Planet. There's a chapter that says, who was Christ? And everything I've talked about is there. So you can also find it on the Internet. And the author's name is Michael Desmarquette, Desmarquet. So going to changing the subject to the election coming up, I'm still kind of undecided as to who I'm going to vote for. I watched the debate last week between Kamala and Mike, and I saw that they were dodging some questions. The first thing that I noticed, they didn't really want to talk about that. You know, it's strange how we don't do the right thing. We could have done things differently. And that's the way it is with a planet of sorrows. The Earth is known throughout the universe as a planet of sorrows. It's an unevolved planet, even though there are some advanced souls living here. And the only thing about an advanced soul is like they've been in existence longer than the younger souls or the intermediate souls, if you will. It's like having a brother who's in the 12th grade and you're in the 5th grade. Well, yes, he's smarter, he's wiser, he has more knowledge, he's been alive longer than you are, but doesn't make him any better than you. It just means he's older. Same with an advanced soul compared to a young soul. And so I see good and I see not so good with the politicians, with Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden. I wonder if a Biden administration came into power, just how that would change things. For the better, for the worse, or if we have 4 more years of Mr. Trump, how is that going to change things? Will it be inspiring, shall I say? Will it be productive? We've got to get rid of the pandemic first, you know, the coronavirus. Get people who are unemployed back to work. Of course, those are the two big things. Who is best at doing that? I even looked at the Green Party. But their plan, even though I must admit it is kind of admirable, and I respect some of the things they say that would do, it costs a lot of money. You know, free health care. And I believe that's a God-given right to everybody. That's my opinion. That's what I believe. Free education. It works for some countries around the world. I think, you know, rather than my wife here, she had thousands of dollars in loans, student loans. And I think it's right to have free education with a few reservations, you know, stipulations. And with abortion, you know, the Democrats, they believe in a woman's right to determine what happens within her body, while the Republicans believe that it's murder, you're murdering a human fetus. you're killing that life inside body. I see both sides. You know, I kind of lean more towards women making the decision for themselves because it is their body. But it's such a contentious subject, you know, I can go on. But I know both sides. One thing, you know, that's one of the main issues, I believe, with the difference between the Republicans and Democrats. And on the other side of the coin, then you have climate change. And the Democrats are better, I think, in looking after our planet and its future for generations to come than the Republicans are. Mr. Trump has already said he doesn't believe in climate change. And I disagree with him. I think it's a reality. Polar ice caps are melting. They've proven that. That's a scientific fact. Glaciers, icebergs melting. These wildfires in California, all along the West Coast, because of drier times, not getting the same rain they used to. Yes, bad forest management, I agree. However, still, this is not happened before in the past. Yes, they've had wildfires, but back a couple, 300 years ago, they weren't having nearly as many huge wildfires. And stronger hurricanes, more storms. I think we've had a record year so far, right, with Hurricane Delta. And I think it doesn't take someone without any knowledge, the ability to see that they're getting stronger each year. It's perceptible. They're increasing in strength and frequency. So that's an issue also to decide upon. I know a lot of people have already voted. And how am I doing on time here? Oh, my God. An hour's almost gone by. So I'll make my decision next week. And I'm thinking that maybe, I won't say that because I might have to explain myself. I'm running out of time here. I wanted to read a little bit about heaven for you from the book Paradise, the Holy City and the Glory of the Throne. If you want to know about heaven, where people go when they die, people just like you and me, let me read to you a little bit from that book, Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. Because I will see you there one day, and you'll say, you come up to me and say, I listened to your radio show. It was really cool. I liked it. And I would say, thank you. We would have a conversation. It's going to be great. Imagine all kinds of people from all walks of life, all cultures, throughout the centuries that have lived here on Earth are going to be there. There's no religion there. There's just one. There's Mother and Father God. All these people that you've heard about that have existed and passed away. Relatives, deceased relatives. Some of the patriarchs of the Bible. People, famous people throughout the centuries. Sir Isaac Newton, Einstein. Greek philosophers. Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. Great Egyptian pharaohs. And all throughout the centuries, Muhammad, Buddha, great people, not divided by religion, not silly stuff, you know, for lack of knowledge. But as I explained it before, you have the advanced souls and the young souls. Young souls do a lot of fighting in their evolution, a lot of killing, a lot of war. You've seen it here on planet Earth, and it's still going on. But the advanced soul believes in life, peace, brotherhood, sisterhood. So this is the 31st chapter from Paradise, the Holy City and Glory of the Throne. Continue, the throne. And you can buy this on Amazon if you want to. Beautiful book. I guarantee you, take it from me, it's the best book you'll be able to, I've read a lot of them, the best book about heaven that you will ever possibly read. The best. We were so entranced at the vision before us that Bohemian, one of the guy's names, fell on his face and poured forth his praise to God as I had never heard him before. In fact, we all felt completely overcome in wonder and admiration. The vastness of the various compartments of the throne is beyond all earthly comparison. For many furlongs, it was spread out in all directions before us. Bohemian came close to my side and said in a low voice, "Whoever could have thought of such glory? Light all filled with glory, heightened beyond all human conception of earthly things, revealed the splendors of the throne beyond the powers of man to describe, so that I kept thinking of the word which I had so long heard, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." 1 John 1:5. We stood there in wonder and admiration. Our guide now came to us and said, "We will now go forward and see more of the greatness of this, our Father's throne." And I believe in the Mother, too, by the way. Those people who don't believe in the Mother God, the only thing I can say is that they're young souls. You need to have no fears, for we are all children of God, and he delights in our highest enjoyment, and is pleased for us to know of these treasures of his love. So come with me, and I will show you at a glance a little of what God had in mind when he laid the foundations of the earth and made man in his own image. I've been here during thousands of earthly years. There were but few of earth's inhabitants when first I came, compared to the unnumbered millions now. But a vast number of angels were about the throne when I first looked upon this glory. "Yes," I said to him, and I remember in God's word it is said, 10,000 times 10,000 angels are about the throne. "Sure," said Bohemian, "and that is 100 million, and I think there's room for 100 million more." A lot of angels about the throne, my friends. You will see it one day, if you can withstand the glory and the brilliance of the throne and the creators of our solar system, my mother and father God. Their light emanates with such power and brilliance and glory. Unless you can withstand that, you're going to have to stay back in the outer edges of the city. And there are many, many millions, millions, millions of acres of land in heaven. Because it's the sun. You know how big it is. Beta Spirit Matter. There are spirits, remember, can live in the fire, can live in fire, my friends. You knew that. We found that our guide was none other than Enoch of ancient birth, whom we had met in the chariot. Lots of chariots about heaven, my friends. Lots of them. And ways, chariot ways, where they glide across. Like highways, if you will. Super highways with chariots, powered by angels and redeemed spirits, you know, some of the more famous spirits and souls from the Bible. David, he is a king, he's a king in his own right, but he's one of the greatest praise givers, if you will, and there in heaven. And he could, well, I've run out of time, my friends. I've only got about 1 minute left, so I'll read some more of this. See you next week. I love it. I love reading out loud too. That's good practice, you know, especially if you're into public speaking. Reading out loud is a good way to improve your public speaking skills. So until next Saturday, my friends, ladies and gentlemen out there, thank you for listening to my show. Thank you for listening to PBS Radio, an enlightened radio station for sure. I love you. And may the supreme creative universe bless all of us and protect us and guide us in any way we need it. I love you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.